It's May 16th, 2017. And this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, coming to you live from the Santa Cruz Mountains of California at Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional.
But the truth is always naked.
I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you once again to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition with all its eccentricities, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and the many voices of Errol Strider.
The many voices of Errol Strider there. Well, those are just one, actually two voices mixed up together. Never mind. I'm sorry. It's just one of those nights. Okay.
You can't help it.
I can't help it. You know, I got my hearing back today. Okay. So our show is sponsored by Go Raw, nutritious and delicious natural food available at Safeway, Costco, Whole Foods, and now Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited about that.
Go Raw.
Go Raw. So tonight, our featured phrase of the week is, don't get me started. I know. There's so much troubling stuff going on. Don't get me started. But let's face it. Once we plunge into the multifarious dilemmas that confront humanity, we won't know where to start, let alone when to stop. Like our current political shenanigans. Oh, don't get me started. Or the endless analysis of the ostensible news by pundits. Whoa, don't get me started on that. Or our preoccupation with spectacular insignificance. We could go on and on. Just don't get me started. On the other hand, there are some things we probably should get started on, like efforts to become more conscious and aware, more balance and understanding, and especially not to take ourselves too seriously. We also might want to get started on appreciating how a viable spirituality can provide the context to better navigate our way to wholeness and healing. Hey, Rochelle and I have been together for over 40 years, and in spite of the challenges of relationship, we're still talking to each other. But then again, don't get me started.
Well, don't get me started, because it's a trigger that sets me off. Don't get me started, because I've just needed permission to take off. There's so much to say, do, see, feel, taste. I mean, once I start, who knows when I'll finish? Why worry? Don't get me started. Guess what's coming? Don't get me started. Climate change. Oh, don't get me started. The president. Oh, don't get me started. Idiots. Don't get me started. I could have something to say about everything. What if I just don't start? What if I finish before I start?
Don't get me started. Don't even get me started.
And this is what Phil Collins has to say about don't get me started.
Started on politicians and the lies they spread. Don't even mention sex and religion and who they take to bed. But if you see me
turn me.
Don't hold me down. I'm on my way. Nothing's going to turn me around. Don't turn me around. Give it to me straight. I'm on my way and nothing's going to shake me. I'm going to hold my ground. Don't get me started. Phil Collins.
Yeah, good for you, Phil.
So there are lots of things that we could start on tonight.
Yes, Phil, don't get me started. Or get me started. Yeah. I guess a wind-up doll. You know those little wind-up dolls? You wind them up and then they do all sorts of weird things, like they fall over and get up a pole a bunch of times. I think that's what life is like. You fall down and you get up. And then you walk around for a little while and you fall down and get up.
Interesting. My dance teacher, Harriet Ann Gray, to whom I'm eternally indebted, said that all dancing is falling and recovering.
Huh.
Falling and recovering.
Wow.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
But I'd like to bring in right away, let's get started with Professor Umbridge on, well, what shouldn't we get you started on? Oh, I have such a plethora of things that I could start on about the conditions of reality and the shenanigans people are up to and the level of misunderstanding and disunderstanding, which is a new thing now. And don't get me started on that, because once I start on the disunderstanding, you know, I can see all the people there that are disenfranchised. That's a disunderstanding. Standing and I stood underneath, understood under a stand once in part of Soho, and standing under the stand, as it were, and with so much distanding going on all around me, I was really lost, didn't know which way to go. So I thought the very least I could, you know, stand up in the understanding, because then I would understand what it was that was distanding and standing, therefore standing in my way. But don't get me started.
I after that, I am not going to get you started at all, because I have no idea where you may go.
Well,
it's kind of scary.
I'm headed, my dear, is to give you an illustration of how bonkers I've become, actually, in light of the several different things that we are dealing with in our culture right now, not the least of which is this ongoing reality TV show called The American Political Systems and its activities and its plots and subplots, starring the inevitable, inestimable Donald Trump as our president. Yeah, right.
You know, I have been around as a pretty conscious adult for several presidents, and I think this presidency takes precedence in terms of being examined under a microscope. Like every word that comes out of his mouth, everything he does, it's like everybody's on top of him, you know, just pouncing in a way. And I mean, maybe everybody else was an idiot when they started out, but I can't believe that they were as, let's say, nitpicked as we are picking at this man. And not that he may not deserve it, I don't know, one way or the other, but the thing is that it's just too much already, you know. Get him out of my head. What was today? Today was like he had a conversation with somebody that supposedly was classified, but he said it was okay to be classified. Right. It's okay to tell you things that are classified if I'm telling them to you in a certain way. You know, I'm not speaking Russian, I'm speaking
right.
Who knows? Don't get me started. And I thought, this is absurd. I mean, this is an absurdity. I'm listening to absurdity daily, and I don't want it anymore. I don't want to listen to absurdity. Come on, give me something juicy but meaningful instead of all this silliness. It's just too much.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, providing a spiritual context. Now, spirituality in our consciousness and culture is generally associated with tradition in this country.
And religion.
Tradition and religion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Together. They've mm-hmm. been marching through eons together. And the atheists that I read, and many of whom I respect for their clear thinking, that's for sure, but often as not they react to the religion of the traditional belief systems. And I rarely hear them address themselves to what I would consider a living spirituality. Whatever our spirituality is, it is that presence that is ever ongoing. And anytime I step back out of the maelstrom of all this activity that grabs my attention and shuffles my thought systems, and then, of course, deals me a hand of usually misperceptions, which I have to play, and I have very few chips. But that's because I know Professor Umbridge, and we have a similar mindset about that, which is why we look at spirituality as a possible place that we can go from which we can be able to not only ascertain what's really going on, but be able to act effectively on it. And whatever else I would suggest that spirituality is, it's the whole of things. At the very least, it's looking at things from the point of view of relationship itself.
Well, it's interesting because I think of spirituality, that is not what you said, is I'm not negating it in any way, but I want to add this to it. It's like I think when I think of spirituality, I think of it as seeing from above rather than in the middle of. It's like when we're on a plane and we're flying over things and you see a forest and you see just this long stretch of green. When you're inside that forest, you know, you can handle one thing at a time. You don't get the collective. And to me, when I am coming from a spiritual point of view, I'm, as you said, it's a whole. It's just greater than what my senses are. Let's put it that way. That's what I think more than anything else is greater than my senses. It does take me to a sixth sense or another sense or a 50 cents.
Another place you can actually start accessing spirituality along with that getting above it and getting beyond it is in this eternal present that we continue to pass through, this abiding essence that is like the canvas upon which the picture of our lives begin to play out. And so anytime you stop and get still, therein is my access point to this mysterious dimension of life, which seems to be at the level of cause. So every time I look for cause, especially the B cause, I'm getting closer to what would be, we call spirituality, but it really is the cause of the whole of it and all its parts as they act out. Yes, dear.
Yes. I realize that there is no, for me, there is no spirituality without love. And the love that I've come to understand as true connection. There is no judgment in it. It's reciprocal. It moves back and forth. It's not. I don't mean it's reciprocal. It just moves back and forth in the sense that you don't have to give it to me for it to move back and forth, because it comes from a great source, and from that source I give it to you, and that's where the comes back and forth. And when I give it to you, you can give it back or not. It doesn't matter, because it's already complete. To me, that's love. And so I don't think there is spirituality without love. And love is so big. It's so big and it's evasive. You can't grab hold of it. You can't define it. It's just something you know. It just makes you bigger. I always think of the best way for me to describe it is there's a true connection between myself, others, and the mystery. And when those three things are there, that's love.
That works. Wouldn't you say so, Rabbi? love, spirit, love. It doesn't matter what words you put on it. The main thing is that you feel it. And in order to feel it, you have to kind of drop off the emotions and all the sugarness stuff that's going on around you, and you have to sense that quiet feeling that's like smooth, like there's this flow. It's like breath in and out, in and out. Oh, I'm going to hypnotize myself. But that's okay, because I can go the in and the out and back and forth, and it's like a pendulum. And you look over here and see what's doing over this side of the pendulum swing, and then you swing back over there. Life is a continual swinging. Some people think, because it looks like we're going from here over to there, that there is separate from here, or here is separate from there. But in fact, they're not separate at all. It's just swinging the pendulum, and it's a continuum from gradations of gray, actually. And so as you begin to drop into these gradations of gray and the subtleties and all the little delicious points of reality that are eager to stand up and show themselves for your benefit and appreciation, they would say to you, please get me started. That's the way they would like it to be. But when I think of all the reasons and all the resistance that people have to coming at life from a whole perspective, hey, don't get me started.
I'm very aware of, at this age that I'm at, how fragile life is, especially the human body. My life in the human form is very fragile. And there's something I'm aware of every day, is that in that fragility is my greatest teacher. Because it's so easy to go into fear when we become fragile. Because you're aware that you're really at the precipice of the end of whatever that is. And it's very easy to go into fear. And I mean, don't get me started on fear, because it's like so invasive in terms of our human condition. But what I am aware of is that every time I allow myself to embrace the fear, I'm in love. Like, it's okay to have the fear. It's okay to have it. And I embrace it. And I go, yes, I am fragile. And yes, I am slowly moving into another realm that I know nothing about. So to me, that embrace is love and fear. Spirituality.
Yeah, you don't want to get started on that fear.
Don't get me started. 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 Don't get me started.
That's enough.
That's a guy by the name of Mick Chris, and it's a little animated piece on YouTube. They were insistent that they be on our show and share with you tonight.
Oh, that was nice of you to get them on.
I know about the pain and the fear. This last week, I had an MRI. For those of you who don't know what an MRI is, it's not a massage relaxation initiative. No. It's some kind of micro something or other. Anyway, they put you in this long tube, which is real trippy. And then it starts taking pictures of you. And it is the noisiest thing. It is so noisy. You're wondering, what kind of pictures are they taking? With lead? I mean, clang, 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 and you're lying there. And of course, my arm is the part that they were taking a look at. As it turns out, there are some ligaments that have come away from, but we won't go into that anyway. So I'm lying there with my arm in the pain and the loud noise, and I'm in this like tomb-like place. And I was, well, don't get me started on that, because that is something that you don't want to have to go there if you don't have to. Even though, you know, it could be mission, you know, responsive interruptus, but I don't think so.
Mission responsive interruptus. We have to find out what is an MRI. We don't even know. I mean, it's amazing how many things we do that we're ignorant of. Don't get me started on the amount of ignorance I have in my life.
MRI, I'll tell you what it is.
Resonating something or other.
That's
resonating.
Right. Magnetic resonance imaging.
Imaging. That's what I thought, yeah.
So this might be a good time to do some magnetic resonance imaging together, if you're all up for it. So what I would like to suggest is that we imagine a world where each of us has the most choice possible, and while we're at it, everybody on the planet is stopping and having a big laugh at ourselves. So imagine 7 billion people just laughing because they realized they didn't want to get started, and nobody got them started, and they were so grateful and happy they started laughing instead. What do you think of that?
Oh, I'm sure there's a whole lot of people who say, nothing's going to get done if you stand here laughing.
Well, that's true. Nothing's going to get accomplished except for this most significant thing of breaking the tension that often creeps up and stands between us and the best possible moment that we could be co-creating if we had relief from all this tension. Would you say that that's true, Rochelle?
Yes, I would say that that was true. And don't get me started, but what I know is that the minute that tension is dissolved, we become extraordinarily creative. We become extraordinarily active because that's who we are. That's our DNA. We will produce things. That's what we do. And when we produce them for the reason that they come out of our highest self, they become marvelous things all the time. So if we release that tension, va-voom, don't get me started, the world would change instantaneously.
You know, we had several kind of va-voom kind of people come here to Lupin. For those of you who don't know, Lupin is a clothing optional, beautiful resort, 110 acres, right on the very edge of Silicon Valley. And we offer silicon shots, play shots, they're not real shots, but they come with ba-boom.
And va-voom.
Va-voom, yeah. Well, we have va-voom and ba-boom. It depends on which side you're facing. It's all really just, you know, silly when you face, like, your mortality, stuff like that. It really kind of gets you, don't take it so seriously. But, you know, don't get me started on that one, because you start talking about our mortality. Man, boy, you don't know where to stop.
You eventually stop. That's where you stop. When you're talking about our mortality, you will stop.
oh, it's our mortality, is it now? This is Father O'Malley. And mortality is an issue that we're constantly facing, but we may not know it. But it could happen at any time there. We could just pop, pop, be off on the planet, and boom, boom, as you say there. And then we'll be getting started on something else. Now, a lot of people are hoping that they're going to keep going. A lot of people don't care if they're going to keep going, and a bunch of them are sure they're not going to keep going. Either way, what makes me feel like there's an ongoingness to everything and why you want to say, get me started here on this planet in this little earthly form, which is a good place to start as you make your way through the miraculous universe, is because the very sense of our own being and our capability for beauty and laughter and understanding and respect and love, as you say. Surely that says something about a quality that lives in a reality that's there for us on a permanent basis. Would you say there? Or would you not want me to get started more on that one?
Oh, I love listening to you, Father O'Malley, because I love the lilt of your voice. It's like listening to music. And
we went to lilt school there. They don't not all the Irish have the lilt there. You have to choose the lilt. Some of the Irish have a little flatter sound there. But I heard the lilt and I thought, I'm going to keep a lilt in my voice there because in case I run into some people who are wanting to get me started, I could just throw the lilt on them and they'd feel liltified.
Liltified.
Right there. Liltified. And it's a good thing to feel liltified once in a while. So, you know, it's like putting a little step into your spring.
I think I got you started.
You did get me started there. Okay, I'll stop there now. But don't forget to step in your spring.
And if you step in your spring, don't get it all over you, right? That's your Errol's thing about don't step in the do-do-do.
Yeah, the do-duality. Don't get it all over yourself when you step in it. You know, here's another version of Don't Get Me Started that's coming from, well, a whole other perspective. And it's worth hearing, and then it'll be worth exploring.
If you ask me, I've got more than I can share. Oh, where do I jump in to tell you all about God's goodness? This could take a while, so you better be prepared.
Don't get me started on what the Lord has done for me. Don't get me started on what it means to be set free. Cause when I start, I can't stop singing about the joy the Lord keeps bringing. So let me warn you,
if there's somewhere you need to be,
don't get me started on what the Lord has done for me.
Oh no.
Well, I'm not good at summing up this never-ending story, but with every dawn his mercies are brand new. I wish I could describe for you the wonders of his glory, but even if I try, he'll know when I get through.
Don't get me started on what the Lord has done for me. Don't get me started on what it means to be set free. Cause when I start, I can't stop singing about the joy the Lord keeps bringing. So let me warn you,
if there's somewhere you need to be,
where you need to be, don't get me started on what the Lord has done for me.
Have I told you how he saved
me?
Have I said how he forgave
me?
Did I mention where he found
me?
How he loosed the chains that bound
me?
Never overstayed. I could not exaggerate. And did you know he's gonna take me to a home? He's gonna make me. Don't get me started
on what the Lord has done for me. Don't get me started on what it means to be set free. Cause when I start, I can't stop singing about the joy the Lord keeps bringing. So let me warn you,
if there's somewhere you need to be,
where you need to be,
There you go. Gold City from Moment of Truth, their album. And that was, guess the title.
Don't Get Me Started.
You got it. And sometimes it raises an issue for me when I pick songs like that, because it obviously comes from a strong Christian. Maybe it's not so obvious, but when you use language like that, I tend to think that these are Christian gospel singers. And whereas I'm not completely comfortable with the perspective that sometimes I hear about from traditional Christianity, some of these folks can really sing, and they've got joy in their hearts and life in their voices, and it feels really good. And I like to be able to go to that place, which is available to me, where I can just be grateful and give thanks for all this amazing giftedness that seems to be coming from our source. But here's the deal. What I'm finding is, whereas there's this God-like being supposedly over there or up there, but more to the point, me being the point at which I'm interfacing with the reality, that essence is within me. And so there is no other, really. There is just the we manifesting this incredible thing called life in just an amazing infinite number of varieties and nuances and possibilities.
Remember, before newspapers became obsolete, and they haven't yet, but at one point, the news pictures on a newspaper were filled with these little pixels, tiny little pixels.
Halftones, they were
called. Halftones. And if you blew them up, you'd see all the little tiny little pixels or halftones. And there were painters who painted, they were pointillists. And they had these tiny, tiny little dots that made up a face or something else. And then you have the people who are the dots that make up a little family. And then all the little dots that make up the family make up the community. And the community makes up the city and the city and the city and then the planet. And if you realize that all these little dots, they were all these just these little dots that make it up the whole. Oh, I mean, don't get me started, but I find some people can find that depressing, that they're just a dot. And I find it really exhilarating that I'm a dot and that you're a dot. And together we make two dots. And there's more dots that make up more things. I feel less isolated. I feel more connected, realizing that I am a dot with you.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think of yourself as a dot com, a dot net, a dot US, a dot info?
Org. I'm a dot org.
You're a dot org. People have been saying that about your show. People have been coming up to me in a very private way, and they've been saying,
oh, don't get me started.
Yeah, no, they've been saying Rochelle is kind of dot orgy. And I said it's because she was one of the first dot orgiests that was in Brooklyn, New York, back there in the day.
A dot orgiest?
Yeah. A dot orgiest is someone who plays the orgy, or, you know, plays in an orgy.
An orgy? Do you know what an orgy is?
Yes, I do know what an orgy is. And it's something that you have in order to stimulate an orgiasm, as I understand.
I don't know if I'm willing to go where you're going. No, I'll go. Go ahead. Keep going. I'll get you started. Get started.
I mean, think about the orgiasm. It's better not to think about it. It's just good to have one. Matter of fact, when you have an orgiasm, you can't really think at all. That's its point. It's almost like a good laugh, only in some ways is more arresting, but a really good laugh can be very arresting. Barney, how about you? Have you had a good laugh lately?
Well, I did have a good laugh there. I also was arrested recently, but it turned out that as arresting as I always felt myself to be, I didn't really think they would arrest me for being arresting. I mean, because I was just saying to them what it was I felt that they should be hearing. It turns out it was a case of mistaken identity. they thought I was this guy, what was his name? Calabresi. Yeah, yeah. Antonio Calabresi. And when we grew up together, people say we looked alike, Antonio Calabresi and me. But he always had like a little lisp or something in his voice. And so when he would say his name is Antonio Calabresi, you know, it was a very tough childhood.
Where are you going, Bart?
Well, I'm going to talk about Antonio. And periodically I would run into him. And like I say, people got us mixed up. And I'd say to him, you know, Antonio, are people giving you a hard time, you know, about what's going on with you? And he would say, don't get me started. And sure enough, that didn't stop him from starting me doing that. And he would talk about all the various things that were so, like, you know, that sucked, as he used to say it. But we liked Antonio. He was a good kid, and he was very generous in his heart. But, you know, but you didn't want to get him started too far down into his point of view, because you could drag you down into some places that you'd rather not go there.
Barney, I'm almost sorry I got you started on this guy.
No. When I was halfway through that conversation, I was thinking the same thing. Why did you start that? I mean, that was like so, like, you know, why would you even go there and waste everybody's time? You got these listeners out there that want to hear Errol and Rochelle say their power, profound things about, you know, spirituality.
Some things are profound.
You know, well,
maybe.
You have some profoundness in the both of you. So, I mean, you haven't, you paid some of your dues. You know, you owe some more. We come here to collect the dues, you know. Pay your dues, you know, there is the thing about your knees, but not going to break your knees. We're going to put you on your knees so that you can give thanks. See how it works there?
Oh, my goodness.
I learned that from Antonio, you know, getting on your knees there. Thank you, Antonio, wherever you are. I hope you're doing good out there.
Oh, thank you, Barney, wherever you are.
Well, Barney, thank you. You all have been really interesting tonight. It makes me appreciate why the phrase was born, don't get me started, because
we don't want you to get started.
We don't want them to get started, because when they start saying things like they've been saying, which didn't deserve to be started, it certainly could qualify for being stopped. So thank you for the stopping part of where you started, because it did stop. So if you hadn't started it, you wouldn't have stopped, and we wouldn't be so grateful for the stopping part.
We have to remember that it says, don't get me started. The truth is we're getting ourselves started, but we're not don't getting ourselves started.
You think it's like that?
I don't know. You know, I mean, we all got started, you know, like, so how can we say don't get me started? Because we all got started.
Well, think about all the beginnings that happen. And if you think about them enough, you realize that every moment is a beginning, right?
Yes,
every
it can
moment,
be
it can
if we
be.
Choose it. Yeah. You know, I'm so aware of our choices. That's one of the things I'm getting started about, is being aware of how we can choose to see what's in front of us or behind us or around us. It doesn't matter, but what we can choose, how we see it. It exists as a phenomenon, whatever it is. But then we bring ourselves to it, and ourselves is filled with all this biological happenings, our DNA, our upbringings, and all the stuff that's gone on before.
And our MRIs.
And our MRIs. Exactly. And in those moments, when we gather all that stuff together, we make a choice. We can make a choice. Or we can just be buffeted by what's in front of us and allow it to just smack us in the face or calm us down or whatever. But we allow it to do that. But I want to allow it. I have a choice of how I want it to be allowed. That I want to choose it to be joyful, like that song, like joyful. I can choose that.
Yeah, but there is the dark side.
Don't get me started. Don't even get me started.
That was Jeannie Darcy doing her rendition of Don't get me started. For which we are very grateful.
I see any stand-up comic would probably could start off with that. Don't get me started and go into some fun riff.
What about you, Professor Schnitzel? Speaking of stand-up comics, you're a funny guy. Can they get you started? Oh, yeah. I tell them, don't get me started, because when I start, it's like my mouth takes on a life of its own. And it starts chomping away with the words, and then you combine the words with my accent. People really are feeling, don't get started, because they are feeling like any moment they're going to get overcome by these words, and they will be starting with this accent too. So they are afraid to talk with me that they will be saying things like this here that I'm saying now. But the most don't get me started thing is when people start talking about all the complaints that people have, that are things are wrong with them and the things they don't have in life. And I say to them, look over there, there's people who really don't have things. And they say, don't get me started on looking over there, because if I look here, it looks better for me, whereas over there, it doesn't look so good for me. And I say to them, so you don't want it to look bad for you? Huh. Don't get me started, because when you're feeling that way and you're disconnected with everything else, then the starting is not at the beginning. It comes later in the middle. And when you start in the middle instead of at the beginning, then you're not in a position to tell anyone, don't get me started, because you skipped the beginning and you started in the middle. Don't get me started.
But how can you start if it's the middle?
Exactly, which is what I try and tell people. And they say to me, but Professor, how can I start in the middle when it's already started? And I say to them, that's the mystery that you have to figure out, but you can only find out when you go back to the beginning and then jump to the end, which doesn't exist, of course, that there is no end.
And no beginning.
And there is a beginning. Yeah, no, there's a beginning. There's always a beginning to something there.
But I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think that whole thing of beginning and middle and end, you know, we make it up to feel good because we need definition all the time. And that creates a definition. But it's just happening. It's all happening. When I start is where it starts. So there, I can start at any place because there is no place. When I start, I start. I mean, when a child comes into life, it's starting, but there's already stuff happening. So it didn't start the stuff that's happening. It's only started with that child. But it's already a whole bunch of stuff that's been going on. So before it even started, that particular thing.
I think I followed that. While we're starting into that thought system, here's a guy who has some serious considerations that cause him to sing about Don't Get Me Started. His name is Rodney Crowell.
To a boil, it's the Muslims and Kurds, Bedouin herds, Palestinians and Arabs, and Jews in the news. It's too much to keep up with. It'll jangle your head. The whole situation running way in the red. I said, don't get me started. Our like has not been your ear. Don't get me started. Just wanna make one thing clear. I was born in America, and I'm proud of that fact. I wish the rest of the world would get off our back. But these slick politicians, man, you've got to admit, seem as crazy as bed bugs, and they don't give one whit about a man on the street with his back to the wall who can't find a quarter for to make a phone call. Meanwhile, back in Washington, champagne will flow. Homeless man with nowhere to go. I said, don't get me started. I came into this bar to unwind. Don't get me started. I like is not speak my mind. The rich corporations have turned a deaf ear. They don't care who
the trouble with people is we wanna believe, but they can't turn a profit without tricks up their sleeves. It's the roofers and truckers, the working class suckers, the firemen and teachers, the soldiers and preachers who shoulder the blows. It comes and it goes. A $6 trillion debt you pay through the nose. I said, don't get me started. I'm a drag when I've had a few drinks. And don't get me started. I don't care what anyone thinks, 'cause it makes me angry.
And that was Rodney, what did I say? Crowell. Rodney Crowell. Thank you, Rodney. Boy, that was pretty explicit. I would almost call that a polemic, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Don't get me started. Well, you know,
no.
What was that movie that, I'm trying to remember the name of it. Network. Wasn't it Network?
Yes.
Where that guy was out there, I've had it
Peter
and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
And he won a posthumous... Yeah. Academy Award.
Yeah.
But there was this something in it, you know, like we get upset about conditions that we can't do anything about, or it seems like we can't do anything about it. And we reach a point of saturation. Our anger saturates us. And it's like a crisis in people's lives. But I think that's a point where then people have to make decisions, you know. Are you going to just stay in that state of angst? Are you going to do something to change? Which means we have to change. We can't change something without changing ourselves. And that seems to be very scary. Changing ourselves, really changing ourselves. Like I'm going to be different than I was by my choice. And but what will I be? You know, it's really hard to know. And because we don't know, it's better to stay in this state, even if it's not comfortable, than to change into something that I don't really know.
Well, that's the whole point. It's the fear of the unknown is what keeps us closed.
Mm-hmm.
But we're always stepping into the unknown. That's one of the great delusions that we have, that somehow it's all known. We try to control it and make it known, and we succeed to various degrees, but at a certain point it just will come apart, and then you're still stuck with having to face the unknown, for which many people are known to say, as they ponder the unknown, don't get me started. Because if they start down the path of the unknown, they will lose all sense of who they are, and as you say, and the direction to which we're going. But tonight, I want to bring on Senator Beauregard, because I think you want to make a little announcement, yes?
Announcement.
Aha, this is Senator Beauregard, and I do want to say something. I've been having several conversations with actor Richard Dreyfuss, who has created this Dreyfuss Initiative, and I'm very happy to be able to support that. And the whole point of this initiative is to be able to get our young people familiar with the civics. They've taken civics out of the curriculum, so that people don't learn what it is they need to understand and know about the government, so that they'll be in a position to take leadership of it when they're old enough. So, and he has something called Sign the Preamble. And we want you to, I signed it, and we want you to go and sign the preamble. And just go online, and you'll, you know, type in Sign the Preamble. And just to remind you what the preamble is, that would be the preamble of the Constitution. Incidentally, I heard someone talk the other day, and they was asking some folks out there about the Bill of Rights and if they knew what the Bill of Rights was. And a large percentage of them thought it was a right to have animals, pets.
No.
Yeah, something like that, something equally absurd. But they didn't know that the Bill of Rights was not about having pets. It was about having your own green grass or something. No, I'm just being silly. Yeah,
you are.
Thank you. Cut to the point. Thank you, Senator. All right, I was trying to say something silly, and I feel silly for having tried it. But anyway, but you don't want to get me started throw down that silliness lane. The point is, the preamble talks about what is really most valuable and fundamental to us Americans. Form a more perfect union, establish justice. And I heard a very interesting thing that John Locke, the British philosopher of the 17th century, his notion... Locke or Hobbes, I get them mixed up. But anyway, the notion was that justice wasn't about punishing or retribution. Justice was bringing about something positive out of something negative.
I think you said it was Hobbes.
It was Hobbes. Mm. He was a cartoon character for a while, too. I think that was a different...
I don't think so. Don't get me started here.
Different Hobbes, yeah. Anyway, just to wrap it up here on the preamble, it's provide for the common defense, which I like to remind you has to do with people feeling safe and secure. And I will ask you right now, you know, how safe and secure are you feeling, and how well are you feeling, and what about the guy next door, the people across the street, and all those people? And be sure and celebrate the blessings of liberty, because they're out there. As long as you pay attention to the other ones, which is the unified, just, peaceful, and harmonious conditions. Well, thank you, Senator. And just a reminder, sign the preamble. Go public with your support of these fundamental values. It's nonpartisan. The preamble just says this is what we stand for.
Well, thank you. Thank you for reminding us that we can do that. And thank you, Richard Dreyfuss, for putting that out into the world so that we were made aware once again of who we truly are, I mean, as a nation.
And I want to give a special thanks to our sponsor, Go Raw, natural raw food, delicious and good for you. So, Rochelle, let me ask you a question. What really gets you going to where you really have to exert great self-control when you start feeling, don't get me started? Like, do you have a pet peeve?
I guess I have several, but right this moment when we're together talking, it's hard to conjure up them because then I'll go into that space. I think it's when people are mean, truly mean to each other. It's something that really upsets me terribly, that someone would go to great lengths to be mean. People torture each other. I watched a scene from about Elizabeth, and she put these men through just horrific...
Queen Elizabeth, the first.
Horrific torture. I mean, it was like... I mean, to even conceive that as a way to deal with another human being just really upsets me. I mean, don't get me started on the way we are cruel to each other, but every cruelty that we have toward another human being is upsetting to me.
Yeah, don't get me started. Expectation and trying people's expectation of how you should be, and or an expectation of you should have done or you should know better.
Oh, yeah, could I have that one too?
Yeah, you can have that, and you can definitely plop it. Don't get me started in front of any of those things, and it works in all of them.
Yes, I mean, my whole modus operandi at this point in life is to move from fear to love, and to recognize when I'm in fear and to love it so that I'm in love. Lessons that I learned from the Course in Miracles, from my higher mind, from anywhere that I'm open to receiving that kind of information. I mean, to live my life in love, and these twilight years of my life or mature years of my life is what matters more to me than just about anything else.
You know, if you all send me an email to estrider@gmail.com, I'll send you a photo that I put out
for the announcement for this week's program of Don't Get Me Started. It's kind of funny. I don't know if, have you seen the program?
Not yet, no.
Okay, well, I think you'll be surprised. We had Mother's Day this weekend, and I will say this, that Rochelle was just a great mother, and now she's being a great grandmother. And it's just a stunning thing. And for me, motherhood, parenthood, is a real sign of something that's got started in the universe that just really took on a life of its own.
I think that would be a very painful thing to see a parent, any parent, harm their children, to be harmful to their progeny, to that which they gave birth to. That's like, whoa.
Don't get me started. I don't want to go there. That would be another.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Let's stay with the positive possibilities tonight. It's the middle of May. We just passed the Ides of May, and the Ides of May is very well known for coming before May 16th, which is the night we're doing our show. And that's how it got so well known.
It was May 16th, that's right. And Mother's Day is really sweet that somehow or other we came up with a day to celebrate our mothers, and then we have a day to celebrate our fathers, and then we have a day, I don't know, do we have a day to celebrate? What else do we celebrate?
Well, they're trying to put through to have a teenager day, Happy Teenager Day, so all the teenagers can feel like, hey, it's their day.
I just heard something about the teenage brain. Like this woman who's a neurologist and biologist and everything else wrote this book about the teenage brain that is really different.
Yeah, I read that book.
Yeah, I mean, it's very different. And so you got to be kind of aware that what you may think is wonderful for the teenager won't be thought of as wonderful at all.
That's a great book. I was so disconcerted to see how similar the teenage brain is to my own. At this point, I would have thought that we'd have some chemical progression in there. But as Rochelle points out, when I share certain perspectives, you are so sophomoric, and sophomore is definitely a teenage type year.
I know, but you're so cute at it that we forgive you so much.
We're going to have to wrap it up. Go to our website, too, thelaughingheart.org. We're back each week with Inside Out, The Naked Truth.
With a featured phrase.
With a featured phrase. And we've had over almost 100 of them, and they just keep coming.
110, to be exact.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, but before we take off, Rochelle, what do we need to remember?
We need to remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more. But don't get me started.